When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Evgeny Malkin debate continues, and keep in mind it's almost 100% a money debate. Is Geno worth what and for how long? That's the debate, period. But here's some facts. One excuse frequently made for Geno is that his knee didn't come all the way back. Well, he's 35. What if it never comes all the way back? And why didn't it come all the way back? Is it because it's still wonky? Or was he just not dedicated enough to rehab? One argument made for Geno is that he averaged a point per game this past season. Yeah, but he averaged a half point per game playing 5-on-5, and a lot of his points were beating up on bad teams. Like 3 goals and 4 points in that home game against Detroit in March, and not long after that, he had 2 goals at Detroit. I would definitely give Geno whatever he wants in terms of money and term if the Penguins played Detroit 82 times and then again in the playoffs. Geno was okay in the playoffs, but only okay. 6 points in 7 games, and except for the overtime goal, well, he had that breakaway goal that tied the one game too, but I don't know, I just wasn't impressed in terms of the eye test, and the stats weren't great either. The Penguins had a better record before Geno came back from his knee than after he came back from his knee. That's undeniable. That's in black and white. The Penguins took a long test drive without Geno in last season's early going, and it worked. The Penguins' structure got worse when Geno came back, and that trickled down, and especially to Letang. Just like I said it would. New World Order brought to you by 84 Lumber, your hometown building partner, and by Armstrong, keeping you connected. What I just said about Malkin, it's not hating like I'm sure most of you are doing, even as you whip your shorts off for a quickie with yourself. Those are all facts. Not hate, but facts. Geno is great on the power play, but he wasn't great on the power play in the playoffs. If he was, the Penguins would still be playing. And if Geno leaves, the power play realized to put Sid on the right half wall, and that's Sid's best spot. It was Geno's best spot. Sid sacrificed letting him play there, but that is definitely Sid's best spot on the power play, and that's on the right half wall. The best argument for keeping Geno is the old gang argument or the keep Sid happy argument. And to be honest, there's a very good chance those arguments will prove decisive. But I've never seen a team that more needs to turn the page, but probably will not. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. You Geno fans probably have a fever of about 103 right now after that monologue, but facts are facts. Now, getting back to the Steelers. And if you notice when I go back and forth in conversation in the same show about the Penguins and Steelers, Steelers and Penguins, sometimes, like I did a little bit ago, I call the Steelers the Penguins and vice versa. I'm getting old. Can't be stopped. The Steelers' defense is going to be awful. You're going to be able to throw on the Steelers big time and run big time, too, just like last year. That's a bad defense, but with some star players. That's the illusion of the Steelers' defense, like Orlovsky said. The illusion. You can cite the tradition. Mean Joe Green. You got T.J. Watt setting the sack record. Cam Hayward is so good. Minka might be the best safety in football. And yet, that defense ain't very good. Lots of points, lots of yards. That's what happened last year. It makes some plays, but not enough stops. It's like that playoff game against Kansas City. T.J. Watt got that fumble return for a touchdown early. but the Steelers allowed 42 points and lost. You can think back to that Watt play and say, the defense did, but then they allowed 42 points. And the Steelers have done nothing in the offseason, not really, to fix their defense. What, you think Miles Jack fixes that? I don't think so, Joel. And I got to tell you, this Stephon Tuitt thing, it's weird. It's like they got dumped by their girlfriend, and they keep waiting by the phone hoping she'll call, even though all logic indicates to her not. And they talk about her like she's still there, like Cam Heyward did the other day. Heyward, but Stephon Tuitt isn't. There is nothing that points to him coming back. And I'm not saying they're counting on him, but if you look at the way their defensive line is currently constructed without him, it's like they kind of are. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Let's go to John in New Mexico. John, you're on with Mark.
Good day.
I said good day.
I think that the Pens are kind of in a no-win situation with Geno, because if they re-sign him, I'm just afraid it's going to be the same situation coming back where he's East and West not playing the right way, to where if we don't sign him and he goes and signs as a free agent somewhere, well, he's going to go with the fire up his buttons, be over a point of game or player, and look at the Penguins. Why didn't they re-sign Geno? How could they not?
I don't think Geno's going to play great next year by his former standard. I don't think that's going to happen no matter where he goes. But the part about him staying and just having the same team and him getting worse, yeah, that could very easily happen. In fact, I would predict it. Somebody called the show yesterday, because I was a proponent of trading Geno back in 18 or 19 when he would have been at big value. And I had people say, well, how would you have sold that to the dressing room? How would you have sold that to the fans? Well, how are you going to sell it to the dressing room now that they're not very good? How are you selling it to the fans now that they're not very good? Because attendance this year, it one sold out every game. And I know that's partly pandemic, that's partly economy, but they made the playoffs for a 16th straight season, and their attendance wasn't at 100% capacity. That said, they were very lucky it was for as long as it was. But the thing with keeping the old gang together, if they keep the old gang together, then people better go, even if they suck, and Sid better not bitch, even if they suck. If Sid wants the retention of the old gang of Geno and Letang, and they do it, then he needs to live with whatever happens and not be even the slightest bit mad if it don't go like he hopes.
Especially if it does come to a point where they do may have to trade one of those guys to free up space and become competitive.
Well, if they can get them to sign contracts that don't have no movement clauses, which I would be insistent on. I would say to their agents, look, if you want a no movement clause, no deal.
Right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. 412-333-WXDX. I still find it amazing that Colin Kaepernick's getting this. I guess he actually already did work out for the Las Vegas Raiders. Guy hasn't played since 2016. Why would you think he could still play? Now, whether it's, you know, right, wrong, indifferent that he ain't played since 2016, he still ain't played since 2016. Are you doing what's socially right, or are you making a football decision? Because it would be the first time I could think of that it wasn't a football decision that was made regarding a roster spot, let alone a roster spot at the most important position on the field, albeit that he would not be a starter. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. We're going to keep talking about the hype for OTAs. You know, I'm sure I'm losing listeners because I just won't indulge that hype. There's not a lot to talk about right now, but it still seems easy compared to doing sports talk for how many months during the pandemic? What, 3 months with no sports? And I was great, so you owe me for that. But OTAs, man, they don't mean anything. Optional. I guess it's organized team activities, but the O also stands for optional. And by the way, Deontay Johnson, definitely not there. So maybe he is doing a hold-in. Yeah, hold this, Deontay. 412-333-WXDX. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9.
Now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Doing really well.
Everything I hear from him is just some of the most insightful stuff.
And did you take off your pants?
The X at 105.9.
I may have finally found some common ground here with all the people who want to bring Letang and Geno back. If I resign them, I'm not going to give them a no-movement clause. And people seem to be in agreement with that. You can't hitch your wagon to guys who can wreck your team and your cap if the team sucks or if they suck or if the team and them suck. You got to give yourself a way out. Maybe a compromise would be you can't trade them the first year, but I wouldn't go past the first year. And I wouldn't give limited either. I wouldn't give veto power to the player for certain teams. I'm looking out for the team. This ain't just about the old gang. This ain't just about nostalgia. And here's why I would have let them all go. To be perfectly blunt, because tell me where this has worked. Tell me the last time an old team won the Stanley Cup. It ain't L.A. with Kopitar and Drew Doughty and Dustin Brown, who just retired. It ain't Chicago with Taves, Kane, and, well, Duncan Keith moved on to Edmonton. Maybe he'll win there. I do not know. And it won Detroit after a point with Datsyuk and Zetterberg and Lidstrom. Old teams don't win Stanley Cups. At some point, your team is too old. Penguins are too old. Let's go to Captain Insano. Captain Insano, you're on with Double M.
What up, man?
What up, man?
Hey, I just called it. I was going to respectfully disagree with you about basically the management of Pickett and then secondly, the Steelers defense. So, how good do you think the Steelers are going to do this coming season? You don't have to give me, just an estimate.
If you made me predict the record right now, I'd say 7-10.
Okay, so, why is it really that important that Pickett plays then? If they're not really going to contend, if they're not really going to...
Because the sooner he plays, the sooner he improves and the more he improves.
But there's also a good case for, if he sits the whole year, there's a lot of, quarterbacks and precedent for if he sits back, learns the NFL, learns the playbook, that he can still be successful.
Yeah, and how many
Brady.
Quarterbacks included in your precedent were 24 when their rookie season started and had started 49 games in college?
I probably none of them.
Yeah, that's my point, Captain Insano. This isn't a unique circumstance with Pickett coming in to the league, but it's not far from it. It's rare.
Okay, so if we're worried about his age, due to the rule changes in the NFL, you can also get more useful years out of your quarterback too. So if he sits for another year, I don't think it's really costing you that much as long as he's ready to go when he plays. Am I saying he's going to be the next, Rodgers? Absolutely not. I'm just talking about maybe the best way to manage, now that you've drafted him, you have to manage him correctly, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think you're losing.
But when you drafted him, I would think one reason you did was because you feel, A, he's your guy, but B, that he's NFL ready.
I agree with that. I'm just not so hard set on that he should have to play.
Oh, I'm not hard. Hey, I don't care. I don't care if he plays ever. it ain't my team. That's not my sandbox. But yeah, I just think when you drafted him, the logic would have been to play him right away. Now, real quick, you said you think the Steeler defense is going to be good. I can't see how you think that.
I'm not going to say it's so much as good, but I don't think it's bad as you're going to say. So last year, the defense was really poor in rushing. Inarguable. Statistically, it was the worst. But that was mostly due to injury. We have the D-line coming back. I'm not impressed with Highsmith either. But the linebackers last year also weren't filling gaps. So that's really what I'm concerned about, is if Devin Bush and the guys replacing Joe Schobert, who also didn't have
Miles Jack,
if those guys don't fill gaps, if these guys don't fill gaps on holes, it's still going to be a poor run defense. But Tyson Alulu is back, and he is a formidable – middle of your
He's
defense.
Also so really old, and I don't know how you can count on Devin Bush to come back when, if a lot of good things happen, the defense will be better, but you're counting on a lot of good things to happen that did not happen last year. Thank you for the call, though. Let's go to Matthew in Greensburg. Matthew.
Hello, Mark. It's good to get the chance to talk to you. you were talking about Malkin and Letang earlier. I was just wondering, like, seems like a lot of discussion I keep hearing is that they're going to bring them both back, but does it have to be both?
Can
it
well, be no. Who's discussing that? That's just speculation. I have no idea. Neither do you. With Jim Rutherford, he was so talkative to the media, you could pretty much know what was going to happen. With Hextall, I have no idea. I didn't expect them to bring Rust back, but they did.
Right. I guess I'm just wanting your opinion on, like if you had to choose, for me, I would rather have Letang than Malkin.
If I had to choose, I'm on record many times saying I'd rather have Letang, but I wouldn't have brought any of the free agents back. I think it's time to turn the page. You know, Rust is 30, so I see that, and I think Letang's going to be very difficult to replace, but at some point you have to understand that you're too old and try to get younger. Now, if you just want to get in the playoffs, if it's important to extend that streak, and maybe it is, then you bring Letang back for sure. The Penguins with Letang and Russ coming back, but without Malkin, are still a playoff team. No question.
Right. That's how I see it, too. I'm fine with Russ coming back, but I would kind of be upset if Letang walked. I wouldn't be as upset if Malkin left.
Let's go to John and Swickley. John, ask, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, you had said that, with the no-trade clause with Malkin, the most you would do is maybe 1 year. What if
No. I said you'd have to give him more than a one-year deal, but you might be able to, we won't trade you for a year. Give him a one-year no movement
exactly,
or limited movement.
Year. So that's what I'm wondering. Like, what would be your minimum that you would accept on a contract? Like, if he came back, what is he at, $9.5 million now? If he came back and said, I'll take $8.5 million for 5 years.
No, $8.5 million for 5 years? That's insane.
Well, exactly.
That's insane.
Well, what is yours?
I wouldn't give him any more than 3 years. I wouldn't give him any more than $6 million.
Okay, and you don't think he'd do that? I mean, I don't think.
Well, I would actually make him that offer with the intention of him turning it down.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Malkin has looked lazy and uninterested for the last.
Well, Jonathan
Bomboli
posted a stat that how productive he is 5-on-5. Okay, whatever. Yeah, bring him back. Give him whatever he wants. I don't care.
Yep, get rid of him.
Well, no, don't get rid of him. You just don't re-sign him. You're not running him out of town. Not bringing him back does not equate to hating Evgeny Malkin and disrespecting what he's done here. Thank you for the call. Tim Benz up next, talking Steelers, 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Mark, love the show, man.
Hey, Mark, how you doing, fella? All hail Double M.
The X at 105.9.
The OTAs are in progress, and that's all that anybody should be concerned about. Joining me now to discuss from the Trib, he is Tim Benz. Tim, is there legit competition for the Steelers quarterback job, or is what's going to happen predetermined?
I don't think it's predetermined, Mark. I think they kind of have what we could casually call a sliding number, a sliding grade in their mind as to what they're willing to accept for a quarterback competition. In other words, I keep defaulting to the phrase, if all things being equal, well, they're not equal, because I believe that Kenny Pickett, being a 24-year-old with 49 starts under his belt and being drafted number 20 overall, if all three quarterbacks perform exactly the same, well, wouldn't you be inclined to then start the guy that you have your future of the franchise tied up in? I would be. Now, the one caveat to that, and I do think it's real, I don't think they ever admit this out loud, but I think it's real and I think it's something that they'll consider, is those first 3 weeks of the season, if not the first six, with those first 3 weeks of the season being so condensed with two divisional rivals that they're going to face, do they want to open up the season with a rookie quarterback playing three times in 12 days against two division rivals on the road?
Well, Tim, don't you think that's determined by what their hopes for the season are?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I don't see them as a playoff team, but they always do, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and they're going to have to play their way out of it before they believe that they're not. I mean, if they are not a playoff team in their own mind, and they think that this is a developmental season for Kenny Pickett, well, then to start developing him. But right now they're not showing that indication, and it feels to me like they might be approaching this with more of an eye towards a competition than maybe what I anticipated.
Is Mason Rudolph even going to be with the Steelers this year, third string, whatever?
I think they want to get an eye on where Pickett is developmentally. I think they want to take a look to see if he's capable of stepping in if Trubisky gets hurt. If he's really bad or behind the curve, which there's no reason to believe that's the case, then I don't think that it's worthwhile to keep Rudolph. I mean, if Pickett is capable of at least being close to as good as Trubisky, then why did you draft him number 20 overall to be the third stringer? Get a pick for Rudolph if somebody gets a quarterback hurt in camp, if somebody isn't happy with their backup quarterback, sixth or seventh round or whatever the case. But if somebody is being wasted as the third quarterback on the Steelers if it's not Chris Oladokun.
How good is Trubisky really? How good's his arm? How good's his vision? You know, we saw him in Chicago. He got no credit. The defense got all the credit. So how good is he really, and what's his fit like for the Matt Canada offense?
In theory, I think he's a good fit for the Matt Canada offense. That's one thing I like about him. When I think about the descriptions of what Canada wants to do, my memory of how he liked to run offense, I think that Trubisky would be a good fit for that. How good is he? My inclination is to say a lower third quarterback. I every time I talk to somebody who covered him in Chicago, I get the same scouting report, which is the athleticism is real. There is arm talent there for sure. He's good enough to keep you in games for the first three quarters. And then when there's a got to have it throw, it's incomplete or intercepted. I keep getting that same report over and over again. He's just good enough, determined enough, smart enough, dedicated enough to break your heart into thinking that he's more than what he is, which is probably, like I said, somewhere between the 21, 22 to 32 range of quarterbacks.
Now, here's a trick question, Tim. What exactly is the Matt Canada offense? Because we really didn't see it last year because Ben couldn't do it. We think we know, but I suspect we really don't.
No, we have no idea what it looks like with Roethlisberger, and I don't know if it's fair to assume that everything we remember from Pitt can be instantly imprinted against NFL competition and with NFL players. So, my image of it is, a mobile quarterback who can move, throw on bootlegs, lots of pre-snap motion, jet sweeps, a moving pocket at times. And yeah, I think Trubisky can do that. I think Pickett can do that. I think they have the players fit for it. One talking point so far at OTAs, Mark, has been, though, do they have the offensive linemen who are fit for that? I don't know what they have the offensive linemen fit for at all. I'm high on this Daniels guy. I like that signing. Boy, he seems smart, bright, articulate. He seems to get it. There's a lot to like about him. It's interesting to hear the linemen talk about how they're changing things and how they're trying to be more aggressive in their pass protection. You normally hear that about offensive linemen when it comes to firing off the ball in the run game, that they kind of feel like maybe last year in the last 2 years, they were just too passive, got too used to rocking back and having the action brought to them by pass rushers and reacting. And they're being taught very differently to attack in pass protection, which sounds counterintuitive, but if you think about it, it makes a little bit of sense. Even if you're in pass protection, you're attacking the defensive lineman. You can buy more time for your quarterback by sort of stunning the oncoming defensive rusher if you get a piece of them. It's just, can they get a piece of them more often than not? And, boy, I've got a long way to go to be convinced that the offensive line is going to get that much better aside from the improvement with Daniels.
Talking to Tim Benz of the Trib here on the Mark Madden Show. Tim, now that they've hired Omar Khan and Andy Weidel to pretty much split the GM job, will the Steelers' method change at all? I like that Weidel is a different pair of eyes and from the outside, but I just feel like Tomlin's the real GM and has been.
Well, to your first point about him being a different set of eyes and from the outside, yeah, that's what I like most about him, is that it's just – a different opinion, a different voice in the room, a different school of thought, and maybe something from the norm that everybody is used to. But I don't really believe that he's going to influence Tomlin's thinking if there's a 50-50 call to be made, or if Tomlin has his heart set on or against any given topic or player, trade, draft, what have you. I keep coming back to saying there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Then again, I know who the head chef is, and maybe the head chef is making the menu more than ever right now. I kind of think that's the case, is that even with so many more people being in what we would consider from the outside, quote unquote, positions of power, has it really just ended up centralizing the power more to Mike Tomlin now that Kevin Colbert, while a guy who rarely used his big voice, had one and was definitely an influential guy in the Steelers organization? Do any of those guys added up have that same voice that Colbert did? And I sure don't think that they do.
Is Tua going to play? I've been told no, but the debate rages. You know, Tua's like a girlfriend that dumped you, and you still keep talking about her and think she's going to call you.
Right, because everybody wants to believe that the circumstances were entirely out of his control because of what happened with his brother and what happened with his knee. And yeah, they were. They were out of his control. But at some point, for his teammates, for the organization, for the salary cap, for himself, he has to come back and play or move on. And everybody was extraordinarily lenient given the circumstances last year. But this year, they can't play with the big what if Stephon Tua is coming back. And that did continue last year, Mark, as much as they kind of maybe downplayed that week to week. It wasn't a week to week, is Stephon going to be here or not? It wasn't, is Le'Veon Bell going to be here for the first 6 weeks of 2018? That sort of thing. It was kind of passages of time. It was training camp, the first 4 weeks, the first 8 weeks. Okay, he's not coming back after these first 8 weeks. He's coming back for the playoffs. You know, like, there were wide swaths of time, but it did hang over not only the defense, but just the room in general, and they can't go through that this year. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know why his teammates would be giving such a hard sell that he's coming back when for so long they did we'll see. Now they're giving such a hard sell that he's coming back. Somebody must have told him that he is.
I don't think he is. I think the silence from him and his camp is just deafening. Now, that said, Deontay Johnson's not at camp either. By the way, Tim, is Minka there? I can't get a straight answer.
Yeah, it's because we're not allowed to say what we see.
I'm sure someone told you one way or the other. So is Minka there? Can you quote an unnamed source?
I can quote an unnamed source as saying that he's present.
Okay, good. But is Minka it or Deontay going to do a hold-in? Because Deontay no-showing kind of points at a hold-in like T.J. Watt did.
Yeah, I think if somebody were to do a hold-in, it would be more along the lines of Minka, because there's a more clear path to what we saw last year transpiring again with him. Like, you know, what happened with Watt can happen with Minka, whereas a wide receiver, a second-round guy, a guy who hasn't been all pro like Deontay Johnson, I don't think there's as clear of a path for that process to work to get money from this franchise. Now, I'm not saying that Minka would get T.J. Watt kind of money, or even necessarily T.J. Watt kind of money as safety, but he could get a deal that he's happy with in the end and kind of do things the way that Watt did, because, well, not to Watt's level, there's at least what they have deemed to be an all-pro track record there. So I could see that happening much more with Minka than with Deontay Johnson.
Is the defense going to be bad again? Because it was bad last year, no matter how people like to romanticize, you know, TJ and all those sacks. But, you know, TJ Watt's real good. Minka's good. Cam's good. But that defense is mostly stars and scrubs. And the other team going to find the scrubs.
Well, yeah. And, you know, one thing we got to keep in mind is, you know, they're still good where they were good, and I don't know how much better they are where they were soft. It's not that much. You know, the one area where they could be better is if Alu-Alu doesn't get hurt on top of Tua not being there, should Tua not come back. You know, like, that hurt them tremendously last year. So if Tua's not back again, but Alu-Alu is, I at least think the run defense gets less gouged up front. But I'm not ready to assume that Miles Jack is going to be a massive upgrade than Schobert. He might be better, but he's not the Miles Jack that we remember making plays against the Steelers in like 2017. You know, and in the secondary, aside from Minka, it's just a bunch of guys. You know, there's not a true number one corner there. It's just guys. And especially in a pass-happy league like this, if the quarterback can occasionally buy some time against Watt in the pass rush, and by the way, the depth at outside linebacker is very thin again, God forbid he or Highsmith get hurt, then there's all the time in the world to pick apart a secondary that's pedestrian, to be kind.
Did the offensive line improve or just get different guys? You talked about Daniels. I'll buy into him, but what about the rest?
Yeah, I think they improved there for sure. I think they're very much the same at tackle. Maybe Moore gets better with experience. I think Chooks is what he is. They might be better at center just because Cole might be more polished than Green. If they get a healthy version of Dotson back, they'll be better. I thought he backslid last year in part due to injury. I guess it could be a little better, but without a massive change in personnel aside from Daniels, I think the steps will be very small, will be incremental.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, they brought in different guys, but different guys ain't always better guys. And they still have the tackles from last year that, you know, I guess Moore was okay, and I have no faith in Chooks.
And especially at that price now, too. You know, I still think to a large degree they essentially bid against themselves there. I mean, I remember talking to you on your show, Mark, and we were trying to figure out who they would keep going into free agency at the end of February and early March, and I felt like an idiot saying, well, how about Chooks? And that turned out to be the case, and turned out to be the case for a price that I never would have even expected. So I just think that they feel they hunt at that tackle position for quality talent in the same way that they have hunted for talented inside linebacker since Ryan Shazier got hurt. The difference is they've had an offense and or a quarterback before Ben went to the chuck and duck thing that could make up for it. So by scheme or by talent of Roethlisberger before he aged too much, they were able to overcome not having superstar tackles. At some point or another, they're going to have to invest heavily in that position. When I say that, I mean more than paying what they're paying to Chooks Okorafor.
Well, Tim, that's what I've said literally for years. The most important positions in football are, in some order, well, quarterback definitely number one. Then after that, cornerback, left tackle, rush end. And the Steelers seem to only think two of those are important, quarterback and rush end.
The corner thing, you know, at least they made a sound investment in Hayden that displaced that a bit. They tried and swung and missed with Artie Burns huge, but they at least showed their knowledge that they needed to do something different there. But when they swung and missed on him, I think they spooked themselves into their old way of thinking about it. Like, okay, to go back to the original, one of the original points of the conversation, maybe that's where a guy like Andy Weidel is really, really important. Like, maybe if he does have a big voice, he can say, hey, guys, I mean, like, you got to look at tackle and corner and reevaluate how you're evaluating these positions because you got to do something here. You can't just rely on the pass rush getting home all the time, and you just can't rely on the quarterback and the scheme bailing out the tackles.
Finally, Tim, is there way too much hype for OTAs?
There wouldn't be if the baseball team was better and the hockey team was still playing. That's the best way to get overhyped about OTAs is to have other stuff to talk about. But with the other two teams being where they are, you know, I think it's overhyped this year because of the quarterbacks more than anything, Mark, and maybe people looking and hunting for what the new scheme is going to look like under Canada. But I at least remember times when the Penguins were making deep playoff runs and in 13 through 15 where the Pirates were competent, where we didn't have to talk so much about it. The good old days, as I like to refer to them.
Tim, great stuff. As always, a pleasure. We'll talk on the podcast later this week.
All right, Mark. Thanks.
That is Tim Benz. I'm Mark Madden. Okay, in a couple minutes, I'm going to tell you what Ray Liotta's next movie coming out is. It's finished production, and I love the plot. Ray Liotta, of course, passed away today. This is his next movie coming out. I'm not sure if it's his last movie. I'm not sure what else has been filmed. But wait till you hear this. I'll give you a tease, like we do in the radio business. The title of the movie is Cocaine Bear. Cocaine Bear, 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
How you doing, Mr. Madden? Big fan.
Super genius. I love the show.
What he likes ain't legal nowhere but Medellin.
The X at 105.9.
Ray Liotta passed away today. At the age of 67, gone too soon. What a tremendous actor. And apparently there's a movie coming out that he starred in, and it's called Cocaine Bear. Okay, let me read you the plot summary for Cocaine Bear. Cocaine Bear follows an on-mall group of cops, criminals, tourists, and teens converging in a Georgia forest where a 500-pound apex predator has ingested a staggering amount of the white powder and goes on a coke-fueled rampage seeking more blow and blood. Well, I can't figure out if this is a drama, a comedy. Honestly, it seems a bit schlocky for Ray Liotta. Kind of like Tara Reid being in all the Sharknados, except I think Ray Liotta is a much better actor than Tara Reid. But, yeah, Cocaine Bear, and it's based on a true story. This actually happened. This bear got into the Krell and went nuts. So that's, if not Ray Liotta's next movie, his last movie. Again, I'm not sure what else he may have filmed before passing away today. I know he was on set for a movie in Costa Rica when he passed away. But this Cocaine Bear, it sounds promising. I will watch it. There's no question. It sounds to me kind of like, you know that last scene in Goodfellas where Henry Hill's, not last, but close to it, where Henry Hill's coked out of his mind? I picture Cocaine Bear to be like that, except with a bear. Let's go to Pete in traffic. Pete, you're on with Mark.
Senor de Guzman.
Hola.
I want to preface this by saying that I'm fine if the Pens don't compete for a year or two. And I've been catching a lot of flack for it, but I don't think we should sign Malkin or Letang.
Well, fans just want what they want. And, you know, it fans settle for mediocrity now. They'd rather not wait for a championship when they can make the playoffs and lose in the first round every year. The fans' embrace of the Penguins making the playoffs for 16 straight years is very reminiscent to fans and media, too, talking about how great it is that Tomlin's never had a losing season, and it enables them to overlook that Tomlin's teams have underachieved badly for the last decade.
Yep, they suffered. And that's what I mean. I think, you know, go out, try to get a younger guy like Trocheck, get guys that can play a 200-foot game. He's still not the best line at all. You know, get guys that can close out games. You know, like I said, if we don't compete for a season.
Well, you brought up a good point. You brought up a good point right there, Pete. Get guys who can close out games. The way the Penguins blow leads and the way the Penguins don't adapt to scoring situation is shameful, and that reflects on the coach as well.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just, you know, like I said, a lot of fans are giving me flack because they're like, oh, if the Pens don't make the playoffs this year, I'm done with them. We need to sign Letang and Malkin.
Well, then be done with them.
Like,
like, seriously, anybody who would you know, F off for being a Penguin fan when they missed the playoffs for the first time in 17 years is just not a fan in the first place. You know, speaking as someone who's been there since day one, we don't need those people.
Amen.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, fans just want what they want, and they want it now, and they'll settle for glorified mediocrity as opposed to trying to build to something but taking a step backward occasionally in order to do so. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. I've very rarely been psyched up for a movie more than I am for Cocaine Bear. What other animals would you like to see ingest large amounts of drugs and then get a movie made about them? Like Cocaine Bear, based on a true story. I'd like to see Cocaine Raccoon. I don't want to see animals take, like, say, ecstasy. I don't want to see horny animals. I want to see violent, blood-crazed, coke-snorting animals. I figure, like, this animals on drugs movie genre, I got to figure it's limited mostly to cocaine, crystal meth, the stimulants, the upper, stuff that gets them going, stuff that makes them kill. That's what I want to see. I'm very picky. I'm very picky when it comes to movies and TV series, only so many hours left in my lifetime to watch stuff, but I'm looking forward a great deal to Cocaine Bear. Let's go to Ty in Midland Park. Ty, you're on with Double M.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard what Phil Bork said today about the hit on Sidney Crosby. He said he basically you're wasting your time worrying about it because Pittsburgh doesn't have anybody to react to it. What do you think of that, Mark?
I don't think you need to react to it. I think that the Penguins won cups in 16 and 17 with a mentality of just play. And in recent nights, St. Louis lost the game because they retaliated to what Kadri did running the goalie. And Carolina lost the game because they retaliated to Trouba's elbow to Max Domi. So with all due respect to the old 2-9er, my philosophy reflects Sullivan's just play. Would I like to see the Penguins get a little bigger? Yeah, I think size is always good, but not for the reasons that you're talking about.
Right, right. Well, they're not the reason I'm talking about. This is exactly the reasons Phil Bork talked about it.
Okay, you're trying to get Phil Bork and I mad at each other? Because that's just not going to happen.
No, don't even do that, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm correcting you, because it's not my opinion. It's exactly the words of Phil Bork.
Okay, first off, you don't have the balls, the intelligence, or the charisma to correct me. Okay, second off, my opinion differs from Phil Bork's, and I maintain that I'm right. So now if that's going to get us to fight, you get us to fight. But we're not going to, because we're professionals and we matter and you don't. Let's go to, we lost Jim. So let's go to a break because we got the list next. More Steelers talk here on 105.9.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.